The night sky this month is part of the Jodcast. For the full show, please visit www.jodcast.net.
So let's have a look at the sky that we can actually observe during the month of April. As the sun sets, the constellation of Orion is low in the southwest, still looking very grand. Up to its right is Taurus the Bull, a little group of stars called the Pleiades. Up and to the left of Orion are the heavenly twins, Gemini. And across and to their left, towards the south, you'll see the constellation of Leo the Lion. I like to think of Leo in the form of the lions in Trafalgar Square on their haunches, which I think is called a lion couchant. But in fact, most of the images of lions you see on the star charts show him with his legs out. And I think that's technically called a lion rampant. In between Gemini and Leo, you will actually see an intruder. Right on the boundary of the constellations of Leo and Cancer, which lies in between, in fact, is the planet Saturn, to which we'll return. It's worth looking to the right of where Saturn is in the sky. Cancer is a very faint constellation, but there's a very nice cluster, the Beehive Cluster, or Praesepe, and it's a very nice binocular object, particularly, of course, when there's no moon and the fainter stars are more visible. Low to the left of Leo and rising in the east as the evening progresses is in fact the constellation of Virgo. Its brightest star is Spica. Between Leo, or the tail of Leo, shall we say, and Spica, lies what is called the realm of the galaxies. A telescope will show hundreds of galaxies in this region. We're looking towards, in that direction, the centre of our local supercluster. It's called the Virgo supercluster, and our group of galaxies, about 50 in number, with the Milky Way and Andromeda being the largest, is an outlying member of this supercluster. In fact, there are some very nice galaxies to see just below Leo. And if you look on the night sky page for this month, just put night sky into Google or go onto the Jodrell Bank website, you'll actually see where some of those galaxies are. There are at least half a dozen that can be picked out with a relatively small telescope. Above Leo is in fact the constellation of Ursa Major. Its two brightest stars on the right-hand side of what we call the plough, pointing up towards the pole star. So what about the planets this month? Well, things have got a bit better than they were a few months ago. Saturn is, of course, the star of the evening sky in the south, and Venus, in fact, dominates the western sky after the sun sets. It's there for a couple of hours or so and reaches an elevation of about 30 degrees, so you just can't fail to see it. It has a magnitude of about -4. What's quite interesting, I find, about Venus is that as it moves in its orbit around the sun, its phase changes, as first seen, in fact, by Galileo. And as it gets nearer to us, less of it becomes illuminated. It shows a very thin phase. When it's on the far side of the sun, the phase is much fuller. The effect of the change in distance and the change in phase basically keeps the brightness of Venus almost constant at about -4 for several months. So it shines really well, and you just cannot fail to see it in the western sky if the sky is clear. Saturn, of course, is the other nice planet this month. As I said, it's between Leo and Cancer, just on the boundary between the two. It's about a magnitude 1. It's getting a bit fainter, in fact, as time goes by, because the rings are closing, so there's not so much to reflect the sunlight now as there used to be. It's a lovely object to observe with a small telescope. Even a telescope of about 4 inches diameter will show you its satellite Titan. And an 8-inch telescope might show you several more. So those are the best two to see this month. Jupiter is now becoming visible earlier in the night. Basically, it will rise by about 11 p.m. by the end of April. It's at magnitude -2.3, so it's quite bright. But sadly, at the moment, it's almost at the lowest part of the ecliptic. It never rises very high in the sky, and so our views are going to be somewhat hindered by the atmosphere. It's actually up to the left of the red giant star Antares in Scorpius. A small telescope will easily show the four Galilean moons that weave their way around it. But to see Jupiter well, I think you should buy a ticket and go to Hawaii or somewhere in the southern hemisphere where it will be much higher in the sky. Mercury and Mars are theoretically visible, but they're very low on the horizon. Mars is just visible before dawn, close to the southeastern horizon. The disk is just 5 seconds across. It shines at magnitude 1, but to be honest, it's not really worth looking for at the moment. Just wait a few months before it becomes higher in the sky. And Mercury, after a good showing recently, likewise is very low in the glare of the sun, so probably not worth trying to observe. So are there any highlights this month? Well, we have a few. Venus on April the 11th will lie within 2 degrees of that lovely little star cluster, the Pleiades. That would make a very nice photograph, the group of the seven sisters and their mum and dad with Venus close by. And on the 18th, it's actually moved over in Taurus as about 1 degree above the Hyades cluster. That's a V shape, and it forms the head of Taurus the bull. The eye is Aldebaran. But in fact, that's got nothing to do with the cluster. It's a foreground star, and it appears bright because it's about half the distance. It's a lovely red giant star looking a lovely red colour, ideal for an eye. So that's two nice views of the sky with Venus in the picture. On the 22nd of the month, we have a chance to observe the Lyrid meteor shower, so called because the radiant, that's the point where the meteors appear to come from, lies in the constellation of Lyra, which is rising in the northeast in the morning hours of that night. About 1 o'clock in the morning is probably about the best time to try. They're typically around 20 to 30 meteors per hour, which isn't a vast number, but occasionally there's a bit of an outburst. I think a few years ago 90 meteors were actually observed coming from the radiant around that sort of time. So it's always worth having a look just in case it happens again. So that's the Lyrid meteor shower somewhere around midnight and afterwards on April the 22nd. One thing that it might just be worth looking for, and we haven't got much more of a chance until the autumn, is a minima of the star called Algol, the demon star. It's actually Beta Persei, and there are two components, A and B, one of which comes in front of the other, and it causes the magnitude to drop from 2.1 down to 3.4 for a few hours, and that happens every 2 days, 20 hours and 49 minutes. We will have two minima in the evening hours coming up in April. On the 9th of April, there should be a minima around 11 o'clock, 23:34 Universal Time, and on the 12th, somewhat earlier, 20:24 Universal Time. The thing to do is just to get a feel of the brightness of Algol compared to nearby stars. You can easily then see when it's dropped to its minima. How to find it? Well, basically, start where Venus is, and that's very obvious, and move over towards the W-shaped constellation of Cassiopeia. And Algol lies on the line between, perhaps about 40% of the way from Venus and the Pleiades towards Cassiopeia. Anyway, the nights sadly are getting a bit shorter, but there are still lots of very nice things to observe in the sky. I do hope you try to do so.